Good morning to you. It is Tuesday morning, the 27th day of May, if you can believe it, as the month slips away from us here. Largely chilly Memorial Day holiday, long weekend for a lot of people. I think pools were probably closed largely, at least there weren't many people in the water. You know, my daughter did get to go to a friend's house who has a pool and kind of lay out on Saturday. The sun was out. It was nice enough, mm-hmm. at least early part of the day. So you got a little bit of sun in this weekend.
Yeah, I was outside most of the day on Saturday. I was going into the weekend thinking it would be basically a wash.
Yes.
Rain most of the weekend. And it actually ended up being a nice weekend. It just wasn't what I think many people hoped for pool weather-wise.
It's true. I did hear this morning that they broke box office records this weekend between Stitch and the Mission Impossible movie. Like 300 and some million dollars in box office receipts.
I have zero interest in watching either of those movies.
Well, I think it's because of the weather. Don't you think? In large parts
sure.
of the country, there were weather problems this mm-hmm. weekend. It was either chilly or there were some storms and people wanted to do something, so they went to the theater.
I guess that's a good thing because theaters dying out. Like, is that a thing? Or people? I can't remember the last time I went. I'm sure it's been within the last year or two, but I never go to the theaters because even if I want to watch a movie, chances are you can stream it and just pay, you know, $5-$15. But even if I'm paying $15 to rent a movie on one of the streaming services, it's still cheaper than if, say, my husband and I were to have a date night and go out to the movies. And I know there's something special about going out to dinner and then going to the actual theater. I'm not saying I would never do it, but when you're just speaking about like cost and if you have kids, it's just easier
to
watch it.
I wonder what role expense plays in it. COVID seems to have changed people's movie going habits. Mm-hmm. I've been shocked repeatedly since COVID that I'll go to a movie theater and my wife and I might be one of 15 or 20 people in the whole theater. And I think to myself, how are they keeping the lights on here? I mean, I know that they charge an exorbitant amount of money for a box of popcorn and a Coke. But how do they pay the employees and keep the lights on if there are this few people in the movie? Like, we went to Mission Impossible yesterday at 5 o'clock on Memorial Day. And I don't know that there were 30 people in the movie theater. Maybe. I mean, a few more people came in before the movie actually started after the lights went down. So it might have been a few more than that. But I was shocked at how few people there were there yesterday.
Have you ever been to one of those theaters where you not only have the comfy chairs, because so many of them have them now where you can recline, it's pretty great, but now they have it set up where you have a menu and you push a little button and will come and deliver you food and
cool?
drinks.
That way I can fall asleep in a theater just like I do at home. It's pretty
Are
awesome.
Are you one of those people who just sits there and snores and annoys
well,
the rest of us?
Sometimes, but usually just because of the nature of our schedule, right? If it's a late night movie and the lights are low and I'm watching TV, I'm likely to doze off. That's problematic. I will say this. I've seen all of the Mission Impossible movies dating back 25 years now, however long. There's a bunch of them. And this was one of the better ones I've seen. Of course, like all of them, stretch the imagination of reality of what could actually happen. But Cruise continues to deliver on these. And I was sweating during one scene in that movie last night. It had me so nervous. I don't know why, but it did. Just the fact that he does a lot of his own stunts mm-hmm. is so unbelievable that it's worth it. Plus, it's a sequel.
Isn't the guy in his 50s?
It's a sequel. Oh, sure, he's 60s.
Is
my
he?
Age, yeah. So it's funny, you know, we're sitting there looking at him last night, and my wife looks at me and goes, how old is he? I'm like, I know why you're asking that, because he's still
buff.
Looks buff and he's gorgeous, and why do you have to ask that? Why'd you ask me that?
He's 62 years old. July
Thank
3rd
you.
Is his birthday.
Why'd you have
He'll
to
be
ask
63
me that?
This year.
But anyway, in
your defense, the guy probably also has nutritionists, a personal trainer, and is required contractually to get in shape. Now, I missed in our contract where we were required to get in shape. I almost wish that were part of my contract because maybe it would force me to do so.
Yeah. Well,
must we weightlifting three times a week in order to have this job?
This movie's a sequel, so I wouldn't expect you to walk in cold and understand what's going on. You need to have seen the last one, because the last one ended when he got a hold of this key that he'd been trying to find, and then that's kind of where it ended. And you knew there was going to be the sequel to find out what happened with the key. So you need to have seen the last. You don't need to have seen all of them, although that would help, but you need to have seen the last one. So watch the last one on your streaming service before you go see this one, and a lot of it'll make a lot more sense.
There's 8 Mission Impossible movies. Yep. Yeah, when will it stop?
It says this is the last one.
Okay. This is like the band that says this is our final tour, and then
no, I'm just
three
telling
tours
you.
Later they say the same thing.
Yeah, maybe Uncle Tom doesn't have enough money in the bank yet, which seems highly unlikely. But he does fly a plane in this one, I will tell you that, like Maverick. He's like
nice.
Maverick. All right, we got Drew in the studio this morning for Ethan, who has extended his Memorial Day holiday, but he'll be back tomorrow. And right now we're going to get into our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
For the families of the fallen, you feel the absence of your heroes every day and the family. These are great families. These are wonderful families. In the familiar laugh, no longer heard, the empty space at Sunday dinner, or the want of a hug or a pat on the back. That
President Trump there yesterday, of course, at Arlington National Cemetery, paying honor to the families and to the fallen.
Remembering that the House began this more than a year ago. It was March of last year when we got our committee chairs together and told them to begin to prepare for this massive reconciliation package. We believed at that time, more than a year ago, that we would win the White House, the Senate, and the House and have unified government and have this really once-in-a-generation opportunity to do so much in one piece of legislation.
Speaker Johnson, with his work cut out for him, of course, trying to get this thing now through the United States Senate.
And they... Local judge in Boston ordered the flight grounded and has now trapped ICE officers in Djibouti with these savage monsters, having to guard and protect them 24/7 in a location with no appropriate facilities, no detention space, no detention beds.
Stephen Miller, outraged as he should be, that yet another district judge has decided he is more powerful than the president of the United States.
Also charging 3 suspects with looting at a North City market. Police say the suspects broke into Destus Market on Taylor Avenue yesterday. Officers say they took merchandise, including dozens of alcoholic beverages. The suspects are charged with burglary, stealing, and property damage.
Come on. All they needed was a beer. I'm sorry. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why they had to impose this curfew after this storm damage. Because you've got people who in every possible situation will absolutely take advantage of that situation. In this case, by looting. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm glad they caught these guys, and I'm sure they're going to catch more of them. And just imagine being in that situation where you're camping out. I shared one of these stories on my Facebook page, but the lady is sleeping in a tent next to the house that had been passed down in her family for several generations, apparently, because she didn't have any insurance, mm-hmm. and she's not sure what exactly she's going to do next.
What percentage of the people in North St. Louis don't have homeowners insurance?
I don't know.
I thought that was a standard thing. It's not required like car insurance, right?
No, it's if you have a mortgage, it is. But your lender is going to require you to have insurance.
Okay, so if your home is paid off, then this is why people
you
would
don't
then not
have
potentially
to have insurance.
But
it's a gamble.
It is a gamble, but then here's the problem. You're hoping nothing will happen, but like look with hail damage. We have insurance, and we still had to pay thousands of dollars out of pocket to get a part of our home siding repaired because
Correct.
Insurance didn't cover all of it. They nitpicked
nope.
over everything.
And here's something you need to know, and I'm going to get somebody on the show to talk about this. I was told by my insurance agent that we are very lucky. We personally are very lucky because of something that has happened. And I'm going to talk about that more when we come back here in just a couple minutes, because if you are one of these people whose policy recently renewed – and you didn't read the fine print, you may be stuck. And I'm going to get to all that for you when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. I promise you that. We got in other news at about 6:45. We'll get to Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends first at about 7:20. We're back here in just a minute. I saw Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin evening last weekend, and it was fantastic. I just have to tell you, Kim, I know you wouldn't have appreciated it, but Jason Bonham is the son of John Bonham, the original drummer for Led Zeppelin. When Led Zeppelin got back together for Celebration Day in like 2012, the last time they played together as a band, they brought Jason Bonham in to play drums, his dad's part on the drums. And he has continued since then to bring the music of Led Zeppelin to the stage. And he's got a great group of musicians, who, and they played all the hits. I mean, it was just fantastic. The place was rocking out at the factory. Just because you played that a minute ago, I thought I would bring that up. By the way, I mentioned the insurance thing. I'm going to get to that here at the bottom of the hour. Just there are some changes going on in homeowners insurance that are going to be pretty dramatic. And my guess is, because I was surprised by it, this is not something your insurance company is telling you about. It's just a change that's taking place as renewals happen. So I'm going to get to that for you here in just a minute. First, though, if you don't mind, Drew, play cut number 10 for us here. And let's talk for a minute about this big, beautiful bill.
Remembering that the House began this more than a year ago. It was March of last year when we got our committee chairs together and told them to begin to prepare for this massive reconciliation package. We believed at that time, more than a year ago, that we would win the White House, the Senate, and the House and have unified government and have this really once-in-a-generation opportunity to do so much in one piece of legislation.
Yeah, Mike Johnson there talking about the reconciliation bill. And I watched Ron Johnson and several other senators, obviously Rand Paul and a few others who are dead set against this bill the way it's written. Now, if you take those two people and you combine them with people like Lisa Murkowski, then you've got issues in the United States Senate. Just losing those three would obviously get you to 50, and then you'd need J.D. Vance to come in, and that's not including Susan Collins out of Maine, who's always a wild card. You don't know where that's going to go. So I don't know if they have the votes to get this bill through the Senate, and that's so we're going to try to get Ryan Schmelz on the phone here and talk about that a little bit. But clearly he's running late. Maybe he had a network hit. I don't know, but I think it's a legitimate question as to whether or not this gets done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Trump came out and was calling on all the members of the House, the Congress members, to just vote in favor of this. And it's understandable that not everyone likes every single component of this bill. I mean, we were speaking with several of our Congress members, Bob Onder, Eric Burleson, who say, you know, there are parts of it maybe that they wish that were a little bit better when it comes to cutting, spending, things like that. But ultimately, when you look at the bill as a whole, well, this is, they feel like, the best direction, that it is the direction we need to take.
It's because it's a lie. And the media will carry the lie for the Democrats. This is the headline on Channel 4 if you're watching on social media this morning. Thousands of Missourians could lose Medicaid coverage under proposed changes. First of all, we should ask ourselves why in a state of 6 million people, we have 1.5 million of them on free health care. We should ask ourselves that, because that number is too high, number one. Number two, the reason some of those people might lose their health care is because to keep it, they'd have to go get a job. Think about that for a minute. None of this is a cut to Medicaid. What it does is add rules to Medicaid saying, okay, for those of you who are perfectly healthy human beings but just too sorry to work, you're going to have to go get a job or prove you're trying to get a job before we're going to continue to let you lay around on the public dole. We're not doing it anymore. This is not about taking health care away from people who truly need it. It's about a little bit of common sense applied toward government funding for things like this. That's where the cuts are. And if you go out and get a job, you can keep your health care. But if you're too sorry to go get a job, you need to reexamine your life. I'm sorry. We should never have expanded it anyway back in 2020, and we wouldn't be facing this challenge in the state of Missouri. All right, quick break. We'll get back. We'll talk about that insurance change that many of you are probably unaware of. We'll be right back.
Is lucky to be alive after her North St. Louis home was leveled.
And you don't remember hearing any sirens?
I didn't hear any sirens. I didn't hear any sirens at all.
She and her son were sitting inside as the tornado raged through, unable to get to safety.
So we made it to the front hall, and I grabbed for the door to open it up, and the wind just slammed it back and knocked us down, and everything just came on us.
Her home.
So that is the lady I was talking about earlier, my friend Gary Womack, who is a photographer at Channel 4, went out and shot this story of this lady living in a tent in her front yard. Why? Because she's afraid of looting, and she's still got all of her possessions. Believe it or not, she's still digging through the rubble looking for what she can still find, her possessions. In the meantime, she and her son are living in a tent in her front yard. And in this chilly weather, I'm sure pretty soon it's going to be in the hot weather. And you got to wonder, I know there are shelters, but she's afraid to go to a shelter for fear somebody's going to steal what she's got left while she's gone. I didn't hear her say whether she had insurance or not, but my guess is
I would think probably no.
She might not have.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say it's a gamble. Well, this is the first time in 50 years something like this has happened in St. Louis.
Yeah, 1950s.
So the gamble
has
paid off for a lot of these folks. Now, clearly you would not have the roof coverage we talked about, or if your home flooded because of a broken pipe, you wouldn't have any coverage for that, which, you know, frightens me thinking about it. But here's been my experience. So when this storm happened on the 16th, I was sitting on my back porch watching hail the size of, well, maybe not quite ping pong balls, but it was pretty good size hail hitting at my house. And I even saved some of it. I put it in a baggie and stuck it in my freezer because I'm like, I want to be able to prove to somebody how big this hail was if push comes to shove. And that day I called my friend Curtis Correll, the roofer, and I said, I need you to come out and take a look at my house because it hailed like hell, and I'm pretty sure my truck's dented, and it tore up the back bed cover I had on my truck. And he was there that evening by like 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and he got up on the roof and he goes, "Yeah, you've got pretty considerable damage up there." So Curtis, by the way, I'll just mention this to him. Great guy. And his information is up on my Facebook page. If you need somebody you know you can trust my friend Curtis Correll, Correll Roofing. He's been down there helping in his spare time, which there's not a lot of right now. He's been down there helping put tarps and stuff, spending his volunteer time putting tarps on roofs in the city for businesses and homes that are still intact, but obviously have roofing problems. So he's been one of the people down there volunteering. I think that speaks well of him. I had him come out, and I filed a claim with my insurance company. And, you know, I've got a homeowner's policy with a $2,500 deductible. To keep the premiums reasonable, that's the deductible we chose. At various times in my life as a homeowner, I've had $1,000 deductibles, $1,500 deductibles. Right now, it's $2,500. And a new roof is $28,000. And then there's usually some depreciation on that, depending on what kind of carrier insurance coverage you have. Here's what my insurance agent sent me after I told him, okay, I went on and checked the policy. It looks like I have a $2,500 deductible, and they're definitely going to have to replace the roof. This was his response to me. Well, you're in good news then, because you do not have the 1% wind and hail deductible like everyone else. He said, your renewal will have it. Every carrier in Missouri has moved that direction. When you take the 1%, it lowers your renewal cost a little bit, but it means that claims like this in the future would cost you $6,000 out of pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
So
Wait, the 1%? I was thinking 1% of the total cost, but that would be $2,800.
On wind and hail damage.
Where are they getting that amount?
I don't know how they arrived at that.
I'm thinking 1% of what?
But they're all going to that.
Wow.
So in other words, if your policy has recently renewed, you might already have it and not even know it. It wasn't like something you had to agree to. If you paid the renewal, you have agreed to it. So in the future, repairing your $28,000 roof would cost you $6,000 out of pocket instead of a hard dollar amount. Like, they're moving away from hard dollar amount deductibles to percentages.
And the problem is, if all of these companies are doing that, it's not like we can go with the one that's not doing
right.
this.
He said all the ones in Missouri is what his comment was to me. Everybody in Missouri is going to this kind of a percentage instead of a hard deductible.
There's so many things that are written in fine print, not just with insurance policies and everything, but with ours, we had our roof redone, insurance covered that. Obviously, we had to pay our deductible, but then we had our siding done. So there was one side of the house that they covered in its entirety because they said that people walking or driving would see it, line of sight. So they covered it. Now, the back also had pretty substantial hail damage, but because it wasn't considered line of sight, they would only pay to cover the specific parts of the siding that were damaged from the hail. So, of course, they nitpicked and counted. And then they also determined in our policy, we don't have what I believe is called a matching clause. So they said if the company that makes the siding no longer produces the exact one that was put on your home some 20 or 30 years ago, which, surprise, of course they don't, then you have to pay out of pocket if you want to get it to match. Otherwise, you have siding that's brand new sitting right next to siding that's been fading in the sun for some 30 odd years. Everyone I talked to, by the way, in my neighborhood, and many of us as of last May had to get our siding and roof redone, they all were told that they are not producing that siding anymore. So this obviously is a tactic that these siding companies use, where they're discontinuing the siding so that it's constantly this new battle of, oh, well, then you have to get brand new siding because they don't make the one you had on your home. Yeah. So we paid thousands and thousands of dollars to not have the back of our home look ridiculous.
So your deductible is going to be 1% of the value of your home.
Oh, okay. So that explains it.
Yeah. So whatever your home is worth, your deductible is going to be 1%.
Woo, people might be wanting to downsize now. Oh, my gosh.
So if you just bought that $1 million home, guess what? Yeah, it's going to be more.
So, well, and you think about people who, in fact, this year was the year that St. Charles County came out and did the new appraisal, right? The new, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Well,
for tax purposes. Yeah,
exactly.
So a lot of people will be, both of us included, we live in St. Charles County, will get new rates.
Got it in the mail the other day.
Heads up. Your insurance is going up. Yeah, your taxes are going up, which means that our policies would go up for this thing. Fantastic. Mark, I'm so glad you enlightened me and made me feel so much better about any potential.
I just don't think most people know that.
No, I didn't know that until right now.
So, like, for example, the reason I would tell you that is if you realize you have some damage and you think you might be able to make a claim, but you're hesitant because you know it would cost you $2,500. Just understand that if next year there's another one of these storms and your policy has renewed, it's going to cost you a lot more out of pocket a year from now than it would to do it right now, assuming you still have the hard cash deductible and not the 1% yet. Because upon renewal, a lot of these policies are switching to the 1%. So I'm just trying to do a public service here and let people know this thing's going to cost you a lot more money moving forward. And
it's depressing.
You have to think it's because of repeated tornadoes or earthquakes or hurricanes all of these
fires
things have
in California.
Cost these mega insurance companies a ton of money.
Okay, so yes, a lot of repeated claims. We might have hail damage on our roof. We haven't had it inspected yet. We just had a new roof put on, like I said, recently. My dad said his agent told him all insurance policy, the prices are all going up.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that you have some massive, massive claims. But I mean, how often do we pour money into these companies every single month and we don't use it? I understand that these companies have to be profitable or it doesn't make any sense for them to remain in business. I get that. But I guess that's my question is it drives me absolutely bonkers, for example, with car insurance, where you're paying all this money, you never use it, you have one accident, even if it's not your fault, if any sort of a claim is filed, then your rate goes up. That grinds my gears. And there's a commercial that tries to say, oh, your policy won't go up after the first accident. But guess what? Guarantee you if there's a second one, it's going to make up for the first one when it didn't go up. There's always a gotcha.
I'm with you on that. I feel
maybe
your
I'm just being very cynical, but I would like to know what the profit is for these
make
insurance
theirs.
Companies.
They're going to make theirs. They've got the accountants ready to figure out what's going on. All right, quick break here. We're going to get to in other news when we come back next hour. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. John Lamping, by the way, will be with us next week. He's on vacation this week, so we'll get back to Senator Lamping next Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Other news.
Some pretty sad news to pass along this morning. Phil Robertson, who of course is the Duck Dynasty patriarch, the guy who started the entire business, to my knowledge, I never really watched the show. He passed away at the age of 79 over the weekend. On Sunday, he died. He actually had recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Oh, really?
So this whole situation is just sad. I think of 79 as really young, and there's a lot of people who are Duck Dynasty fans. I know they're coming out with a new season that's a remake of it.
And he started...
he started the company.
He started the company with the duck calls, right?
Yeah, because my husband, I was actually talking to him about this last night. Yeah, so he started, he made duck calls, and then I guess it grew into some huge business, which is why they call it Duck Dynasty.
Remember, did you ever watch it?
No, I kind of want to watch it this season for some reason, which is supposed to release later. This year.
And I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't watch it year after year after year, but I watched it. You know, a little trivia fact, that in Louisiana, where he went to college, Phil Robertson was the starting quarterback, and he decided that he didn't like, even though he was the starting quarterback, he decided he didn't like playing football, and he'd rather hunt ducks and fish, so he quit college and moved back home. You know who his backup quarterback was? Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, wow.
Terry Bradshaw took over the starting quarterback job and became famous. Became
wow,
an NFL
way.
Star. Yeah, that's something.
Wow.
There you go.
I can't believe he was the starting quarterback. I just would not picture him like that.
He was quite an athlete, apparently. Yeah. Speaking of sad news, that the Billy Joel stuff just shocked me this weekend. And apparently he's got something called normal pressure hydrocephalus, which causes pressure on the brain and hearing and vision problems. Mm. And he says that he's been experiencing issues going back maybe 8 or 10 years that included a forgetting the lyrics to some of his songs. And he could specifically talk about when that happened. It sometimes it can be treated. And he feels fine right now. But they're going to try to get him treatment for it. So, and I don't know if he'll ever come back or not. And that's very sad.
Yeah.
So glad I got to see him in concert.
Yeah, that's got to be sad for artists. Forgetting your own music that you
miss.
Yeah.
Fear of that happening when you're on stage. Did you guys hear about this one-year-old Arizona girl? She was outside in her front yard. I guess her mom was out there, had been taking out the trash, and all of a sudden the girl starts wailing. Mom runs out and finds that the daughter had been bitten twice by a rattlesnake in their yard. The mom rushed her to the hospital. She was throwing up and she was losing consciousness, ended up needing 30 vials of anti-venom. She had to be what's the word I'm thinking of?
Ventilator.
The ventilator, thank you. She was on a ventilator because her condition was that dire.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness the mom realized what was going on and saw the snake and then grabbed her, scooped her up, threw her in the car and called the hospital on her way there so they could have the anti-venom ready. Apparently that's pretty normal in Arizona.
Yeah. For a rattlesnake, do you have to like suck out the venom?
I don't think so. I think that's an old wives' tale.
Okay.
Four puncture wounds on top of the girl's foot.
Maybe if you're in the woods and you have no other choice.
If anybody knows, let us know.
I don't know. Here's the deal. If you can get sent to the
to jail for two different reasons on an airplane. One is you try to open the door while the airplane is in flight because you panic. So this Nippon Air's flight had to be diverted from Tokyo to Houston after some idiot into the 11-hour flight started trying to open the exit door. So they restrained him. So they diverted the flight to Seattle. And another passenger got pissed off because the plane got diverted and started punching the bathroom door.
Oh, good.
So then he got arrested as well.
That'll fix the problem.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
That, just punch that a door and then it really, you. Yeah.
Speaking of crazy flyers.
Was Britney Spears was caught smoking on an airplane or something like that?
Come on.
Someone needs to help her. Go watch her Instagram videos if you think that she's fine.
She's nuts is what she is. Why do they let her out in public?
She dances
like somebody
with
hands
knives.
Her, she's drinking vodka. They hand her a cigarette, and she lights it up on an aircraft, a commercial airliner. That hasn't been allowed since she was born. What the hell is she doing? All right, we're back in just a minute.